Chapter 1, John chapter 1. You know, this time of year, if you were to ask people what they want for Christmas, wait a minute, what do y'all want for Christmas this year? I mean, now, don't get real pious and you know, that kind of, tell me what you want for Christmas. Anybody want to tell me what they want? Yes, ma'am. All right. That is a great Christmas wish. I hope. Yes. Some oil. Okay. For your hair or your truck? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. Anybody else?
I'd love for this to be a Christmas, but my husband says,
oh, amen. All right. I know that most households have someone along that line. It's really a, it's the time of year that people will listen to the Lord, about the Lord. Because we're talking about a baby in a manger, right? We're not talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who's coming in splendor and glory to judge the world and to take his children home. We're not talking about that this time of year. It's the baby. Somebody else? What are you really looking for this year? Come on. This is interaction, class. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Amen. That'll be wonderful. Oh. No? Okay. Anyone else? Yes. Peace. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else? Well, most people, when they're asked, and we have a song about that, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, right? I mean, we would love to see, I can't remember, I probably can count on two hands the times that we've had a white Christmas. It just, well, up here maybe, down in the city, we never get it down there. So people are looking for the brightness. You know, you drive around the, have you started in the neighborhoods looking at the lighting and things like that? I remember when we were down in North Beach, we would go by, we would drive every night. We'd just go up and down the streets looking at all the lights. And it was really funny because they'd start turning them on around November, 10, 15, somewhere in there, and the city and all of the lights were there. And then what they would do after Christmas was over is they just turn the lights off. I mean, they never took them down. You know, you could see them all year round. They were still there. They just never took them down. And then come next, they'd plug in the lights. And so people are looking for that kind of thing, decorations, lights, presents. We all want presents, don't we, for Christmas? I do. Rochelle's not here now. I mean, I'm looking for some big-time presents this year. Yes, because I deserve them. No, I'm just kidding. But that's some of the things, and we've already heard. We want peace. We want joy. We want fun. We want this to be a good time, a kind of time that we rejoice. But you know what? Sometimes, and probably most times, Christmas turns into a real hassle, doesn't it? It really does. You're rushed and you're pushed for time. You spend money you don't have to acquire things you don't need for people who really don't care or don't want it anyway, right? And so we're over and over again, and we end up making ourselves and we make other people miserable when we do those kinds of things. So I wanted to kind of look at a gift that God gave us, which is an indescribable gift. It's a glorious gift, and that is the title of my message this morning, The Gift. In our struggle to try and get it right, a lot of times we get it wrong. We get it wrong. And we end up making everybody pay for it. God wants us to get it right. He's not so much interested in a white Christmas as he is in a right Christmas. He wants it right. So, how do we have a right Christmas? How do we have a time of joy and wonder instead of being stressed out and tense all the time? Well, this passage reveals some of the ingredients that are essential to having a right Christmas. John chapter 1, let's stand together as I read the first four verses and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's Christmas from the Gospel of John. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you'd guide us in our listening and our hearing, and that we would then do as the Holy Spirit commands us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Now, I know this is not a traditional text, a Christmas text anyway. John doesn't write about angels. He doesn't write about shepherds. He doesn't write about stars. He does something that the other Gospels just don't do. He puts the greatest Christmas gift into context. He really does. He tells us all we need to know to have a right Christmas. You know, Christmas usually is filled with all kinds of distractions. And I'm not saying that the distractions are wrong. They're just distractions. We like the Christmas trees. We like all of the lights. We like all of those things, but it's a distraction at times. So, between all the presents and all the parties, it's easy really to forget the real reason for Christmas. And it's found in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he, what's the next word? Gave a gift. He gave us the Lord Jesus, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. How long is everlasting, folks? It's forever, right? Let me give you another non-traditional Christmas verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. And that gift is the Lord Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. First of all, according to the passage of Scripture we just read, he is eternally God. He is eternally God. In the beginning was the Word. And that phrase, was the world, or was the Word, means he has always existed. There's never been a time when he was not here. Because that word was is in, I'm going to give it for you Greek scholars, it's in the imperfect tense. An action that started in the past, continues in the present, and will continue. That's the Word of God. That's amazing. The Word is eternal. He's always been. He always will be. Before there was anything, the Scripture says, there was the Word. And in fact, there is no pronoun there. It says, in beginning was the Word. The Word was already here. He was, and we'll see this in as we go down this way a little bit. He has always been. He was the one who created it all. And in Genesis chapter 1, it begins, in beginning, God created. And now we're about to see who he was talking about when he said in beginning. Colossians 1:15, Paul said, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything and was created that was created and is supreme above all the creation. He's supreme. So our gift is eternally God. But not only is he eternally God, he's equally God. That word that we translate word is the word logos, and it means speech. It means actual speech. Jesus is the perfect expression of God and who he is. Have you ever had people ask you, well, have you ever heard God speak? Is anybody here? Now, I know that there are people who have heard God speak. I have. Maybe you have. But you know what? That's Jesus talking to you. Because Jesus is God. In fact, he's God in human form. He was face to face with God before the creation ever started, and he is co-equal with God. Wow. But not only that, he is essentially God. He's every bit God. In fact, it says, and the Word was God. That's the clearest statement in all of Scripture of the deity of Jesus Christ. He was God. That's why Jesus could say, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. That's why he could say, I and the Father are one. Now, there are those who will say, well, that just means that he was one like God. No, if you continue to read, it says that the Pharisees took up stones to stone him. And he said, why would you do that? He said, because you, being a man, have said you are God. They knew what he was talking about when he said it. So he says, I and my Father are one. John 8:58, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now there again, that's another direct confrontation with the Pharisees, because the only one who could use the name I am, remember we talked about this a little bit, Exodus, when Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God said, tell them, I am sent you. I am that I am. In other words, he always exists in the present. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? There is no past with God, and there is no future with God. Everything to God is in the present. He knows the end from the beginning, right? He knows how it's all going to work out. You know, people say to me, well, if the devil knows, and you tell me that the devil reads Scripture, oh, yes, he does. He probably knows the Bible more than anybody in this room knows the Bible. He knows it cover to cover. And so people will say, well, if he knows so much and he knows his end, because, folks, we have read the end of the book, right? We know how it ends. Then why didn't he just give up? Because Satan is an egotistical fool. That's why. He believes, yes, he's going to end this way, but he's going to take everybody he can down with him. And he's doing a really good job of it, folks. He's doing a really good job of it. You see, when God sent his son into the world, he sent himself in the form of a human being. See, when the angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You a Savior? Remember, they said, yet thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. Christ is the title, the exalted title for king or anointed one. And Lord is Kurios. That means the owner of it all. Did you hear what the angel just said Jesus was? The Savior, the King, the owner of it all. That's who we serve. And he was announcing the birth of God in human flesh. I don't know that we really grasp that or that it shakes our souls like it ought to. In fact, all throughout his life, he proved that he was God. From peace be still, remember when the Jordan was just going crazy and the Sea of Galilee was, and he just said, peace be still, and it stopped. Lord over the nature, isn't he? He can just do what he wanted to do. Remember with the cripple? He just looked at him and said, thy sins be forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees got so outrageous. Only God can forgive sin. So Jesus said, just so you know, rise up and walk. And he got up, threw his crutches away, did a little dance, and walked off. Wow. Remember when he went to the grave? Lord, if you'd only been here. He's 4 days in the grave. He stinks. He says, roll the stone back. Lazarus, come forth. What happened? Huh? That's it. Lazarus came forth, didn't he? They said, take the grave clothes off of him. Let's go eat. We're going over to Popeye's for dinner. And even as he hung on the cross, it is finished. I've completed everything. I've paid the price. Now into thy hands, Father, I commit my spirit. See, his truth and the power of his deity was on constant display. Every word, every deed, every miracle declared that he was God. He's the greatest gift this world has ever been given. Now, we just sang Joy to the World, right? And the reason is because Christmas is not joy to America, because that would be national joy. And it's not joy to the white folk, because that would be racial joy. And it's not to the West, culturally, or it's not to the rich, financially, or it's not to the educated, intellectually, it's not to the happy, or the emotional, or the healthy, or the physical. It's joy to the world. To the world. You see, Jesus Christ alone is the joy of Christmas. He is everything there is. And the greatest demonstration of God's power is when he added humanity to deity. When he became a human being. He came and lived and died among men. In fact, let me read to you from Philippians chapter 2. We just came out of Philippians not too long ago. And here's the Christmas story from heaven's point of view. You must have the same attitude that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. That's Christmas from God, from heaven's perspective. Who was that baby born in the stable in Bethlehem? Well, number one, he was the master of creation. When you consider that this verse says Jesus was the creator of the universe, John 1, his birth as a baby becomes that much more amazing. The creator of the creation humbled himself and became a creature in the creation. God became dependent on a human mother. Now, contrary to some of the things that you will read, Jesus was a real baby. He was real. It wasn't just a show. Jesus wasn't just faking it. He was a real baby. Now, many of you, as you've seen babies, you know things like they do. They'll put their hands up and they start going. You ever seen them do that? Jesus did that. He didn't understand words. He needed to be changed. He needed to be fed. He needed to be washed. He needed to be cared for, just like any other baby. God, in the flesh, had to learn how to talk and how to walk and how to feed himself. He had to learn all of those things. That's the reason the Lord came in the flesh. He came as a heavenly son to an earthly mother. That's why there's joy to the world. Because God has come as one of us. He came to be like us so that he could make us like him. That's the wonder of Christmas. Jesus, the creator, stepped out of eternity, laid aside his glory, entered the world as a baby, a little. And it even gets more technical than that. He came as an embryo that became a fetus, which became a living, breathing soul. Somebody asked me many times, some people have asked me the same question. How could that be? That goes all the way back to Mary, right? That's what Mary said. How can this be? I've never had relationships with men before. What are you talking about? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And what is conceived in you, did you hear that? What is conceived in you is from the Holy Spirit. Wow. Right from inception, he was God there. That's why this season's not about trees and tinsels and all the rest of that. It's about him. It's about the Lord Jesus. He's the maker of creation. But not only that, he's the master of creation too. Not only did he make the universe, he has the power to hold it together. Do you realize if he decided for 1 second to do something else, this place would blow apart? You don't think so? Colossians chapter 1. For by him, speaking of the Lord Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He existed prior to all of these things, and in him all things hold together. In other words, Jesus Christ is the glue of the galaxies. He holds it all together. He made them, and he holds them together. So what does that really mean? It means God's in control. Amen? God is in control. And we may not think it is, and we look around the world today, all of the things that are going on. You say, how could you say God's in control? Well, I'm just saying he is. He knows what he's doing. In fact, Scripture is very clear. He sets kings up. He takes them down. He moves people into place to do things that he needs to be done. It's an amazing thing. Do I know how that works? No. Have no idea how it works. You know, that job's filled. That job's filled by God. You know, so I'm not even going to search for that one. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Because I don't have the brain power to do something like that. He controls it all. And the one who controls it all was born into the world as a helpless infant. A helpless, lived in poverty, lived with rejection, died a horrible death on a cross, all because he loved us. That's the reason. Romans 5:8, Paul said, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were sinners, he died for us. Not because we were good. Not because even we were worth saving, but because he loves us. And that's the reason he stepped out of eternity. So what really is the joy of Christmas? Is it a fat man, red suit, giving out gifts? No, I don't think so. Is it red-nosed reindeer, magical snowman? Elves, presents, huge meals, families, even families? No, it's none of those things. The joy of Christmas is God in a stable. God in a stable. That's the joy of Christmas. That's the essence of the whole season. We're in John chapter 1. It says, in him, speaking of Jesus now, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. But it gets even worse than that. Why did the Creator become part of this creation? He put on human flesh and he walked among us so that he could bring us back to himself. Remember, it all started that way. In the Garden of Eden, it was a perfect situation. Everything was, there was no sin in the Garden of Eden, was there? At the beginning, no. And they walked with God every day in the cool of the day, and it was just a wonderful time. And God shared with them, and everything was wonderful. And then Satan showed up. And we know the rest of that story, don't we? We're living with the rest of that story. We are all sinners by birth, sinners by nature, sinners by practice. We're all sinners. And yet God stepped out of heaven, became a man, became a human baby to live his life so that he could go through the process that we go through. And that's why the Scripture says he was in all points tempted as we are, and yet he never sinned. And he's the only perfect sacrifice for our sins. You see, that's the purpose of Christmas. Jesus came to bring life into deadness. He entered the world filled with dead men that didn't know they were dead. But he came to make dead men live again. You see, when a lost person receives the Lord Jesus, they pass from death to life. That's what John 5:24 says. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, he that hears my words, believes on me that I have been sent, has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Wow. When that happens, when that transaction takes place, the Scripture says your life changes. Your life changes. If anyone's in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things begin to pass away, and all things start becoming new in your life. Things that you didn't want to do, you now do. things that you now or used to do, you don't want to do anymore. That's the difference. You see, you got to understand, Jesus is the strength of our earthly life. He is. We're alive today only by His grace. We're only here by His grace. Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I'll return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I saw this very graphically last week. And many of you, I know, I shared it on my post. Young lady who, 41 years of age, she and her husband, I had the great joy of marrying them. When they came through our doors one Sunday, and they were just beaming. And she was just a lovely young lady. Very, very involved in the church. Very involved with the shoebox ministry. Loved kids. Loved everything. She loved her husband. Her husband loved her. Middle of the day, going down a road, lady coming the other way. We still don't know what happened, but that lady veered, and it was a head-on collision. And both of those ladies are no longer here. Now, for Angela, I know where she is. I know, because I heard her story. I heard her confess the Lord. I know where she is. But it goes to tell me that life is so uncertain. It is so short. James says we're only here for a little bit. We're a vapor, and then we're gone. We're vanished out of here. 41 years of age. Loving life, loving people, loving the Lord. And the Lord took her home. Folks, I don't know why. I have no idea why. But I know this, she's rejoicing in the Lord now. She really is. She's home. Her husband is grieving, and I'm going to be at the funeral and take part in that funeral on Tuesday, so you guys pray for me too, because it's always hard to do things like that. It really is. Even though it's a time of sadness, it's also a time of joy, because her pain is no longer, she has no pain whatsoever. But her husband's here, and he has to deal with that. And so just, if you would, remember them in your prayer life. Jesus is the one who makes life possible. He's also the secret to an effective life, too. You want to have life? Jesus said, "I've come to give you life, but I've come to give you it more abundantly." That word means superior, extraordinary, surpassing, uncommon. It's the kind of life that we should expect to have as a Christian. If your life's not like that, then my prayer for you, my pleading to you, is find out why not. Because God gave it to you when you got saved. He's the strength of our life. He's the source of our life. Those of us that know the Lord, we're going to live eternally. Amen? Amen? We are. We're going to live eternally. We're going to be with the Lord. Woo! Now, just so you know, from my reading of the Scripture, that doesn't mean we're going to sit around on the cloud and play harp. We ain't going to do that. Scripture is very clear. We're going to work. But it's going to be the kind of work that's exciting work, that's joyful work. It's the things that you really look forward to. You know, there's an old saying, if you really enjoy what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. That's why when people say, "What do you do for a living?" I said, living? I'm loving life. What are you talking about? I love life. I don't work at all. And I know somebody says, "Okay, yeah, all right, we got that. All right, we'll write that then down." No, it's a joy to be able to read the Scriptures. It's a joy to be able to know that the Lord speaks to my heart. It's just exciting beyond words. And you know what's so sad? This world doesn't know anything about it. Paul said, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." And yet this world just rejects it out of hand. John said, And this is their condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't even want to hear about it anymore. And they actively try to shut up anyone who wants to talk about Jesus. We can talk about anything else in this world. And as disgusting as some of the things are that people want to talk about, but you mention the name of Jesus, and boy, are you in trouble. You're up against the wall if you do that in a public building. They don't want to have that. You can't say it in an office. You can't pray in school. Now, we can all pray in school, right? It's just that we can't verbally pray. God, you know, the government will never shut down prayer. Only visible kinds of prayer. You know, it's just amazing to me that Congress, the Supreme Court, all begin with prayer. But little kids can't pray in school. Something desperately wrong. Men love darkness more than they love light. But you know what? I got some good news. I've really got some great news. The light that shone so brightly in eternity past, the light that gleamed in Bethlehem's manger, the light that shone for 33 years as Jesus' ministry, the light that just flickered at Calvary but burst forth 3 days later, is going to continue to light the pathway for all of them who desire to follow him, because he is the light. And he has said to us, now you are the light, because we are his ambassadors, right? We're his representatives. So many people are messed up when it comes to what they think Christmas is all about. The primary concern for many, many people is, I want to give the perfect gift. I got news for you. God gave us the perfect gift. He sent the Lord Jesus into this world. You see, if our greatest need had been information, he would have sent us an educator, right? If it had been technology, he would have sent us a scientist. Or if our greatest need was money, he would have sent us an economist. If it was pleasure, he would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need is forgiveness. That's our greatest need. And God sent us a Savior, someone who could forgive our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift this world has ever seen. He's what brings life to our souls. He's the one that brings light to our darkened hearts. He gave us all when he gave us his Son, didn't he? I read a story about this father who called his family together. We're going to have a conference today. Wife and the kids, everybody sit around. He said, listen, this Christmas is going to be different. We're going to be disciplined this year. I want everybody to get along. I want everyone to be sweet. I want everyone to get along. I want to have a great atmosphere in the home. And the dad was starting to get really pumped up with the kids, you know. And he said, here's the way we're going to do it. Let's make this the best Christmas ever. You know, and he was just so excited about that. And his little boy raised a hand. Yeah, I want you to. We can't make this Christmas the best Christmas ever, Daddy. And what do you mean we can't? The little boy said, because there's no way to improve on the first Christmas. Ain't that the truth? No way. You just can't improve on the first Christmas. So, folks, the best news you'll ever hear at Christmas time is joy to the world, the Lord has come. Here's the question. You going to have a right Christmas this year? You can, but only when Jesus is at the center of everything that you do. Can't tack him on Sunday morning. Live your life like you want to the rest of the week and expect there's really going to be any joy, any peace, any love, any of that in your life. Oh, you may have it occasionally, but you'll never have that kind of abiding joy that Jesus wants for each one of us. You got to make him first. He's got to be the center. Have you received his gift? Do you know him as the Lord and Savior of your life? You really want a joyful Christmas this year? Be sure, number one, that you've trusted Jesus. that you've asked for forgiveness, that you know him, that you've passed from death to life. Be sure Christmas is about the Lord. Be sure to give him the glory that he's due, not only on Christmas, every day, because he's worthy. He alone is worthy. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful.